drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, I'm Tyler Rocky alongside Mike Gilligan. We're with you every single Saturday morning throughout the golf season right here on ESPN 1000, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Talking all things golf. You know, today I felt like a little bit of a setback walking into the future of when we might actually hit the links out here in Illinois with the brisk wind, the cold air. But then you look at your weather app or you see what Tracy Butler's brewing up for you as well on ABC7, and you see, you know, maybe next weekend you can get some swings in at a range or something. Looks like it's going to start to get into the 50s as well. But today it just did not feel like golf when you walked in to the building today.
It really didn't. And in fact, this is what you get for living in the greatest big city in the world. You're going to get this kind of weather. This is hopefully our last big blast of winter as we know it. It looks like in the middle of the week we're going to be able to get out and practice a little bit, and hopefully, like you just said, maybe next weekend be able to actually get out on the turf itself and play some golf.
312-332-3776. You want to talk anything golf on your mind? We're going to talk with Alex Mendez from the Illinois PGA. Some interesting stuff happening right now with the PGA and the potential of dialing back the ball and taking away some of the distance on the golf ball. We'll talk to Alex Mendez about that coming up at 9 o'clock. Also, there is tons to get to. The Masters closer than you think right now, so we'll dive into some of that as well. And also, in the spirit of March Madness, we're going to give out some March Madness superlatives as well to the world of golf. We'll do all of that. This segment is sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. But today, Mike, we're going to start with Scottie Scheffler and the absolutely dominant finish he put on the Players last week out at Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. I mean, you look at how he closed the tournament. He finishes 17 under, a five-stroke win over Tyrrell Hatton, who, quite frankly, he was just playing very average golf and then caught a heater in that fourth round. He goes 7 under for that fourth round, but he finishes 12 under for the tournament. And then you got Victor Hovland and Tom Hoge each at 10 under, Hideki Matsuyama at 9 under. This was absolute domination from Scottie Scheffler, and he's worked his way into the number one player in the world now. Now, how long is that going to be? And do you not put an asterisk on this, but does the way that John Rahm was playing and the fact that he has to withdraw because of a stomach bug, does that maybe not tarnish it, but make you think a little bit differently about what Scottie Scheffler did last week?
It might, but on the same hand, I'd ask the question, are we giving Scottie enough credit?
Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy who, man, when he was a kid, he won 90 times as a junior golfer, doesn't commit a double bogey on that difficult test of golf. And on the final day, you know, just decides to reel off, what, five birdies in a row on the final day? I thought it was very telling when he had a conversation that he shared at the press conference afterwards with his caddy once he saw the leaderboard and he saw that he was starting to get a lead. And they both looked at each other with that same look saying, we're just going to play this golf course.
Yeah.
We really don't care what the rest of these guys do. We're not changing our game, and he didn't. And I think doing that allowed him to play with a free mind, and he was able to just play his game and match it up to that golf course. And I'll tell you what, it was a bully beatdown on the rest of the field. And the rest of this field is not a bad field.
No,
at
it's
all.
A good one. It's the fifth major there,
it
and
is.
He goes out and dominates it.
Dominates.
I don't think I saw domination coming from Scottie Scheffler. And I don't know if it's maybe his personality. He just seems like a quiet, sort of reserved guy. Like, you look at some of these other players and all the flair that they've got to their games and the way that they go about portraying themselves on social media or in interviews. And Scotty just seems like a subdued, regular guy that you could see walking down the street somewhere. And you don't necessarily get that in the world of golf as much as you may be used to. And especially now with the PIP and all of that determining a bunch of stuff with how you're going to end the year financially as well. Like, Scotty doesn't seem like he cares about a lot of that stuff. And he just goes out there and puts together just rock solid rounds. Every single time it feels like he's out there, he's going to get in for a top 10.
No doubt. I mean, this guy comes to us with really no flash. I mean, we don't see this guy on social media, creating controversy, being polarizing. You know, if this were John Rahm or if this was Rory, there would be a totally different buzz. But I think if you were to start putting together the ultimate player and what is going on, the 6 inches between your ears, you take Scottie Scheffler's brain because that guy just gets it done.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, a lot of people are in awe of how he drives the ball and how his iron play. But truthfully, his strongest part of his game is the chipping and the putting. And it always has been that way with him. And when you are a good chipper and a good putter of the ball, if your iron game is on, you're going to go low. And that's what we saw.
You know, it makes me think of a basketball player. It makes me think of Kawhi Leonard a lot. Just a guy who's very kind of to himself. And he doesn't care about what any of the outside noise is. He just is going to be, like, his saying is, the board man gets paid. And boy, has Scottie Scheffler made a lot of money already this year because of the way that he just kind of goes about his business and has this almost quiet assassin mentality to him. Like, he went out there and dominated one of the more impressive fields we're going to find in the calendar year of 2023 and goes out, wins by 5 strokes. And really, like, he gets into, I mean, you get to moving day there and he starts to make his climb up the leaderboard. And then after that, no one's catching this guy because he's just so dominant. He's so steady. And you bring up the chipping and the putting there. Like, that's the difference between guys who are steady and can go out and finish top 5 consistently, finish top 10 consistently and sprinkle in some wins in there versus the guy who, okay, you're in the top 3, maybe you win a tournament, but then you're missing a cut next week or you're missing a cut in 3 weeks. That's the difference between those guys. You're not going to see a lot of missed cuts out of Scottie Scheffler because of his style of play.
Exactly. I mean, if he's not, on, if you will, tee to green, he still is an amazing chipper and putter of the ball. He's always going to be hanging in there. So you look at the Masters in a few weeks, you look where he's at. Boy, I mean, he's looking awfully, awfully strong to be able to put up a heck of a defense to his title there down at Augusta.
And think about Scottie's surge, too. Like, he had won a couple tournaments before the Masters, but relatively new on the PGA Tour scene. He goes out, wins the Masters, and, like, my question always when you do see a guy who, for the first time, is competing in a major tournament is, you almost want to fade him, right? Because you get to that fourth day and all of a sudden the hand becomes a little bit shakier. The putts you're lining up for are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it just, like you mentioned, the 6 inches between the ears, the cage starts to rattle a little bit there. And this guy is so steady. He went out there, won the Masters last year as just kind of the kickoff to his stellar run through the 2022 season. And you know, I don't love to pick a guy who won a tournament the year before to go out and defend their title. I think that's just added pressure. But with someone like Scottie Scheffler, like, he's just so steady. I don't know if I would do that with someone like, let's say, a John Rahm. Like, I don't know if I would pick him to go out and defend a title that he had from the prior season just because, you know, it can get erratic mentally for him at times. Now, it seems like that's calmed down a little bit, but with Scottie Scheffler, that's something that you don't even have to take into consideration when he's going out and playing in these tournaments.
Exactly. For a 26-year-old, I'll call him a 26-year-old kid. Like, this guy,
that's one of the forgotten parts of this, is how damn young he is.
But he is acting like he is well beyond his age, both from a just simple maturity and how he conducts himself on the golf course. But I think you said it earlier, that quiet assassin type of mentality going about his business. And the other thing that's most impressive to me is he does it on the hardest of golf courses. I mean, he comes through at Bay Hill like no problem, right? And that golf course is brutal. I mean, that's a tough yes. golf course. He wins there, and then he turns around at the Players' Championship. And I'll tell you, what he has more than anything right now is the fact that his colleagues are impressed. And when you are yes. impressing your colleagues mm-hmm. at that level, you're doing something.
Like, I remember in full swing, too, you saw the stuff with Brooks Koepka talking about Scotty, and like, Scotty's emergence just got in his head.
It did.
And it may have ruined Brooks mentally as a golfer, whereas I don't know if some young up-and-comer could rattle Scotty Scheffler, because he's just so sound mentally, and he seems so focused on, all right, this is an individual sport. I can only control what I do. And sometimes you get golfers, especially young golfers, that they try to win these tournaments, and they try to feel like they need Herculean efforts every single time. I got to get to the green here instead of maybe taking a more call. No, Scotty just plays his game. And by only focusing on yourself and not worrying about some of the outside noise and all that stuff, it's just so impressive for a 26-year-old up-and-coming star who is a bona fide superstar in the sport right now, and the way that he's gone about it just quietly. Like, you wouldn't realize, like, for a casual golf fan that maybe tunes into just the majors, maybe they get a little bit of Players, and maybe they watch a couple other events each year, I don't think they would realize just how dominant Scotty Scheffler's been. They'd see his name on the leaderboard at all these major events, and obviously winning the Masters last year, but it's just this quiet demeanor of just how consistent he is week in and week out whenever he enters a tournament.
And, you know, to your point, I think when he goes to Augusta next, you know, in the next month, I don't think he's going to let the event or the moment get bigger than him. And I think that's where I'm just amazed at the years of maturity beyond his age. He won't let the event get bigger than himself. He will just go about his business and do it in just fine fashion. And the other part of what I admire about him is how grounded he is. I mean, his grandmother single hole. God bless her. But they ask
88
you know,
years old, I believe,
yeah,
right?
Something like that. I mean, to navigate that golf course, you know, at that age is a athletic feat in itself.
Yeah.
But when they ask him, you know, how are you going to celebrate this? Like, what's going to happen? It was basically going back to grandma's house and having some dessert.
He's just a regular dude.
He's just a regular guy.
It's unbelievable in this era of sports where it seems like everything has to be flashy. Everything has to be made for social media, and he just wants to go about it a different way.
He does, and he remembers where he came from. I mean, I think there was an event last year that he basically won and then had to get in on a plane and go to a wedding.
Right. I remember that,
you know,
yeah.
And only a guy who's well-grounded, well-brought up by parents and the whatnot thinks like that, and it is a rare thing to experience and witness right in front of our eyes. And not only just a good player, but a great one. He's now the world's number one player.
Yeah. We'll see how long it lasts, too, because John Rahm sat out this event. Who knows how it maybe would have went differently had Rahm participated. But certainly a stellar feat for Scotty Scheffler, absolutely running through the Players' Championship down in Florida at TPC Sawgrass last week. Speaking of Scotty, as the reigning Masters champion, he gets to concoct the Masters champion dinner menu for the upcoming Masters champions dinner. And he revealed the menu of what is going to be served up at Augusta coming up in a couple weeks. We'll give you what that was and give you what we would put on our Masters menus as well coming up in just a little bit. This segment has been sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. You want to talk about Scotty's dominance? You want to give us your Masters Champions Dinner menu? Hit us up 312-332-3776. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Thank you.
Edge. Hope you brought your appetite for this one as well. As Scottie Scheffler dominant at the Players' Championship last week, the defending Masters champion had his Masters champion dinner unveiled as well. This was on the Masters official Twitter account. So this is what's being served up in honor of Scottie Scheffler. All right, here's what he concocted for his Masters dinner. So for appetizers, you've got cheeseburger sliders and firecracker shrimp. Now, those sliders are served Scotty style. Do you know what Scotty style is? I'm trying to read through this and what Scotty style means, but I'm not seeing anything here. But he's got the firecracker shrimp as well with a little sweet Thai chili and sriracha mayo. He also has, as another starter, a tortilla soup with avocado, crispy blue tortilla strips, sour cream, cilantro, and lime. Then for your main course, Texas ribeye steak or a blackened redfish for those who don't eat meat or don't want meat. That is served alongside some family-style mac and cheese, jalapeno creamed corn, fried Brussels sprouts, and seasoned fries. And then for dessert, oh, this may be the best part, the warm chocolate chip skillet cookie. You can never go wrong with the cookie skillet there with some ice cream on the side as well, or maybe even on top too. So that is Scottie Scheffler's menu there. And I think this kind of goes back to what we were saying, like just a regular dude.
Yep.
Like cheeseburger sliders, right? The firecracker shrimp, tortilla soup, a ribeye steak or some fish. And then you've got a cookie skillet as well to close out the night. Like that is just a regular guy's menu.
Yeah, I guess it's like the old saying, you are what you eat, right?
Yeah.
So this guy's about as vanilla as they come, right? And his menu reflects exactly the type of guy that he is. It's not over the top. It's not hoity-toity, fancy schmancy. It's just what a regular guy likes.
So for comparison here, this was Hideki Matsuyama's Masters dinner menu from a year ago. There was, for appetizers, assorted sushi and some chicken skewers. You had a miso glazed black cod. You also had a Miyazaki Wagyu with a Wagyu ribeye. And then for dessert, a Japanese strawberry shortcake. So a little more complex than what Scottie Scheffler was going with here, right? Just a Texas ribeye steak and then the warm cookie skillet to cap it off.
Absolutely. And, you know, for me, I'm all about that Scotty menu.
Yeah.
I'd be lost with Matsuyama's. I really would. I wouldn't even know what utensil to use, let alone what it is.
Right. Exactly. I'm right there with you. And even as some, like, I'm Japanese and I have seen some of the things that are on Matsuyama's menu, but there's still some things that are just above my head as well. So what, Mike, would you be throwing on the Mike Gilligan? If you were so lucky as to win the Masters and host the Champions Dinner the very next year, what is going on Mike Gilligan's menu?
I would have to give a big tribute to Chicago. It's got to be Chicago-based. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a little Chicago-style hot dogs.
All right.
Maybe some deep dish pizza.
Okay.
And then I got to bring the chef down from Gibson's, right from here downtown, to start serving up some steaks. So I'd start with that. But then for like dessert, I'd go for that old-fashioned Dairy Queen Blizzard.
I love it.
That's what I would do.
I love it. I think I would go, okay, so you get like the appetizer. I'm a huge calamari guy.
Okay.
So I'm throwing some calamari in there. For a soup, I love myself a good clam chowder as well. And then you get to the, I mean, you brought up a little Chicago flair. I would probably go with some Italian beef sandwiches, a little jardiniere there as well. And then, of course, like you brought up some of the, you were talking to me earlier in the break, like those Portillo's fries too, next to those Italian beefs, give me that. And then let's cap it all off with some chocolate lava cake.
There you go.
That's what I'm rolling with there.
Yeah, I think you could just send Portillo's, Geno East, and Gibson's down to Augusta National, down Magnolia Lane.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? Just the Portillo's truck pulling up down Magnolia Lane. And
that would be awesome.
Yes.
And you would probably get a rave review from all of the other champions in the room, including those from across the pond.
Yeah.
I think they would all be falling in love with our near and dear Portillo's.
So what are you putting on your Masters dinner menu? 312-332-3776. We'd love to hear from you. Get what you are serving up if you were so lucky as to be a part of the Masters Club dinner. And like, Scotty, like, I look at all, like, the family-style mac and cheese. Is there anything better than a well-done mac and cheese, like alongside a steak? Like, you're at a barbecue, whether it's 4th of July or just a family cookout, and you just get some family-style mac and cheese, like a baked mac and cheese. My mom used to make the greatest baked mac and cheese, still does make the greatest baked mac and cheese, and she's passed the recipe down to me. I've brought it to a couple of like Friendsgivings and some other potluck type events that I've been to, and it's always a hit. You can never go wrong with the mac and cheese, no matter what age you are.
No, it's I think you grow to appreciate that love. Being just a little kid, I remember used to calling those things pipes, you know, because they look like little miniature pipes to me. But even to this day, still love myself some good mac and cheese.
Yeah. And this is just like, I mean, you can find this menu at just your everyday restaurant, right? Like you start things off with the cheeseburger sliders. And then you get into the Texas ribeye after that. Is like there's no shortage of good stuff on this menu. And then the warm chocolate chip skillet, like to top things off with the skillet cookie. And when they serve it out in that black cast iron pan, it's coming out and they're all individually made for you. You got the ice cream on top. You see it starting to melt, and it's the perfect. Now, I will say this. I see milk and cookies ice cream as a part of the side. And maybe I'm just overthinking it here, but is that a cookies and cream ice cream, or am I thinking, or is this a different type of ice cream that we've got here, the milk and cookies ice cream?
I'm leaning towards cookies and cream.
You think it's a cookies and cream?
I
can sign up for that.
That's all me. That is all about me with that. But you know, it's funny, as I look at this menu, you know, because again, we're going to have a lot of live players in the room. So is any of this stuff worth hurling at each other?
I'm trying to think. All right.
But the slider would be a good one to just fire over at, you know, Bubba Watson.
Right.
Get him right in the forehead with
it. You just grab the patty and then frisbee it across the room, right? I mean, the firecracker shrimp, you catch someone in the eye with some of that that sweet Thai chili or sriracha mayo, like, that's going to do some hurting for you right there. And then the warm cookie skillet, like, that could get a little messy too with the chocolate melting as well, but that is certainly something to keep your eye on. The Masters dinner with the live players in the room as well. Vic is on the north side. What's up, Vic?
Hi guys, how are you?
Fantastic. Good. What you got?
Hey, I just want to change it around and make it a little more Chicago East with the dinner.
Let's hear it.
Instead of the mac and cheese, let's do some bow tie pasta with vodka sauce.
All right.
Ooh, or some ziti pasta, some baked ziti.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other change I'm going to make is you got to have a bone-in ribeye and maybe a double baked potato. And for the dessert, you got to have the macadamia pie. You got to have the macadamia pie from Gibson's.
Ooh.
Or Hugo Frog's. Have you ever had that?
I have not had a macadamia pie.
And for the limeys out there from the Live and all these foreign players, maybe we substitute some carrot cake or something for them. Because they are below us. We are the Americans. This is our turn, man.
They're
like wise guys that turn informants going to the Live. So anyhow.
Love it, Vic. Here, hang on the line here. We want to get you a Masters journal. We've got some Masters journals to give away. So hang on the line there. Charlie will get your information, and we'll make sure you get that just in time for the Masters coming up. Well, in about 3 weeks from now, we'll have the Masters. It's going to be our last sort of Nance shuffle here, going from the Final Four and then transitioning into the Masters that very next week. So looking forward to all of that. And you know, that kind of to me signals the start of spring is here, right? Even though, like, we're in the Midwest, we don't get that great weather until probably June, May if we're lucky. But you see Augusta on television and just what a different event it looks like and just how beautiful it is out down in Augusta, Georgia. Like, it just feels different. And to me, that's like the unofficial start of spring.
It really is. And when the weather is good down there, that generally means that we're having some pretty decent weather up here.
Mm-hmm.
When they have terrible weather down there, we're generally suffering
something similar.
Something similar.
Yeah. Like, and the rain patterns, it usually feels like it's like on a day delay, it feels like.
Yeah, and I remember some days playing out at the Village Links in a pair of shorts and short-sleeve shirt when the weather was absolutely fantastic. And I've also remember Saturdays and Sundays with it being snow on the ground and wishing we could be out there. But next couple of weeks are going to be interesting for sure.
312-332-3776. If you want to give us what your master's menu would look like, coming up next, the Valspar going on right now. We'll get you updated on that leaderboard, what's taking place down in Florida, and also some other stuff from around the PGA as well. Don't forget, we will have Alex Mendez, the Illinois PGA president, as well as the area representative for Srixon, join us at 9 o'clock. There's some interesting stuff with the golf ball being rolled back and how it could impact the game of golf. We'll talk about all of that with Alex coming up at 9 o'clock as well. This segment has been brought to you by Tour Edge. We'll be right back on the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
By Glenview Park Golf Club, Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. 312-332-3776. You want to come into the show and talk anything on your mind in the world of golf? We're talking a little bit now about the Valspar Championship taking place down at Innisbrook. Of course, that you're familiar with, Mike. I have an Innisbrook towel on my bag, actually, because my dad, this used to be his destination spot with his buddies. Every single, I want to say they went in like early March, usually. I just remember, like, all of a sudden, dad was gone for a week going down golfing in Florida. But he would go down there with his buddies and play throughout a bunch of the courses on the Innisbrook Resort. And I believe they got on to Copperhead a couple times down there, but they always had a blast with it. And so for that reason, I have the Innisbrook towel on my bag. And that's the thing is, like, you put something like that on your bag, you're going to get a question about it, whether it's from a starter, maybe you're paired with someone you don't know when you're going out there and playing, or just you're at the range, you're on the putting green, what have you. Like, you're going to get a comment on it, and it's always like, oh, did you play Innisbrook? And I'm like, no, that's my dad's, actually.
My dad got to play, and all I got with this crummy little towel.
Yep.
But, no, I mean, you know what? It's a fantastic golf course. You know, for a lot of the guys that went to Florida Southern, you know, David Glod, who's the founder of Tour Edge Golf, that was his favorite golf course. You know, Marco Dawson, Lee Jansen, Rocco Mediate, they all played together down there, and they had some of the greatest battles at Copperhead. And having had a chance to play it myself, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't even realize you're in the state of Florida when you're on it, because it has that feel that you're further up north because of the way the tree line is, the undulation. You know, when we think of Florida, we think a lot of flat golf courses with a lot of water. This is entirely different, and it really puts a premium on putting that tee shot into play so that you can go at these, you know, hole locations that are going to be tucked and whatnot, and the bunkering that is at Copperhead is extraordinary, and it's difficult. That snake pit is will get you.
And so, you've played there a few times.
I have. In fact, I was just sharing with you the last time I was there. It was, you know, we have this International Association of Golf Administrators, the IAGA. Our annual meeting was there a couple years ago, and we always have a tournament on the last day. And so I was playing in the gross division, and I was playing with a gentleman from the Kentucky section and another guy from Utah, and we're in the last group, if you will, or the lowest handicap. And I had a one-shot lead going into the final hole, which was my fourth hole. We started off on the fifth hole, navigated the snake pit in even par, and all I have to do is basically make par on the last hole, and I think I'm at least going to tie or win, right? And I've got a wedge in my hand, and I floated that thing up, and it got above the tree line, and the wind grabbed it, and it plugged. When I say it plugged, I could only see about maybe an eighth of the golf ball. Couldn't get it out, made six. The other guy made three, and I lost by two. But I still love Copperhead.
It's a fickle, fickle golf course. It really is a fickle, fickle sport as well. So as we take a look at the leaderboard down at the Valspar, not a lot of flashy names in the top couple of spots there. But then you get a little further down, and there's the familiarity that kind of regathers itself. So Adam Shank, Cramer Hickok, Cody Gribble, all atop right now. Shank 7-under, Hickok 6-under, Cody Gribble 5-under. Also at 5-under, that's where you start to get some familiarity. Tommy Fleetwood, Jordan Spieth, Davis Riley, all at 5-under. Then you got Wyndham Clark, Matt Wallace, Taylor Moore, JT Poston, Steven Yeager, Adam Long at 12-under. How about Buffalo Grove High School's own Doug Gim at 3-under and tied for 12th right now. He's in a grouping of Adam Long, Byung-Hun An, Rory Sabatini, Alex Smalley, Lucas Glover, Justin Thomas, Webb Simpson. So some pretty good competition to be amongst right there for Doug Gim. He went 3-under, 2-under, or he went rather 2-under, 1-under, I should say, to be at 3-under for the tournament here. And if you want to place a little action on Doug Gim, he is plus 10,000 right now to win. For context here, Justin Thomas, who also is at 3-under, he's plus 900.
Yeah.
But JT's done a little bit more on the tour.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And it's interesting with Doug Gim, for example. Doug and Scheffler are the exact same age. They played together at the University of Texas. Mm-hmm. Talk about it. What a heck of a golf team there.
Yeah.
But Dougie right now is 305th in world ranking points and 212th in FedEx. He stands a big chance to move up the both leaderboards, if you will, or points boards, mm-hmm. With a nice finish over the weekend for sure. And it would be great to see him. I mean, here's another Illinois product coming out and doing well out on the tour. It's just fun to see.
Yeah, for sure. Always rooting for the local kid to do well. But as you take a look at some of the odds here and sort of what's transpiring, I mentioned that you got JT at 9-1 right now. The favorite is Spieth, who I mentioned was two strokes back. He's at plus 450. Tommy Fleetwood at 7-1. Adam Shank at plus 750. Then you get into a crop of guys at the 10-1 range, like Cramer Hickok, like Davis Riley. So it's, again, it's like the name recognition at the top. But this feels like one of those tournaments where you may not get one of those superstars that comes out on top. They're hanging around now. They've made their cuts, but they may not be the ones that ultimately walk away as the number one in the tournament.
Well, and like you just said, I mean, when you look at the first top three names on the leaderboard, you're saying who? But again, look at what the purse is this week. $8.1 million. Now, years ago, we'd say, wow, mm-hmm. $8.1 million. The last 2 weeks, they've been playing for $25
million. Right.
So, naturally, a lot of the guys are taking this week off just to get their bodies ready for Augusta. But some of the guys are looking at this as a golf course to really get their game honed in
right.
in preparation.
I'm always fascinated by that is who feels like they need to use some of these tournaments as ramp-ups and who views some of these tournaments as rest to make sure you're right for Augusta.
Well, I think it's all a personal flavor,
right.
if you will.
No, certainly
right?
is.
So I think mm-hmm. if certain guys are used to a certain regimen, they're going to stick with it regardless of whatever the purse size is.
But some yeah. aren't playing for the purse size either. They're
oh, yeah.
playing for,
they're just
playing. I just need the rounds.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And you know, the guys like, you know, Jordan Spieth, Now, a guy like Tommy Fleetwood, though, he's been trying to find it again.
Yes.
And I think
he's trying to win.
And he's trying to win. But if Adam Shank or Kramer or Cody Gribble, between the three of them, they got one professional win between the three of them. A win this weekend to either one of these gentlemen is going to mean the world, and it's going to mean a trip to Augusta. That chance to go down that 330-yard Magnolia Lane.
Yep, absolutely there. All right, when we come back, we will dive a little into the topic that we're going to discuss with our guest as well, Alex Mendez, coming up at 9 o'clock. The rolling back of the golf ball. It looks like we may be seeing some distance control coming to a course near you soon. Will it affect you, the golfer, or will it be something that's more reserved for the professionals? We will discuss all of that and more with you coming up in just a little bit. This segment has been brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf. 312-332-3776. We'd love to talk with you here on the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Ockey and Mike Gilligan on ESPN 1000.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Ockey.
This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Tyler Ockey and Mike Gilligan with you here on the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. All right, a little bit of controversy now. As if golf needed more controversy, right, Mike? But here we are with the USGA announcing, and again, this is just a proposal at this point, but the USGA wants to roll back the golf ball. And what does that mean? Basically, dial back some of the distance on what some of these players are getting. And I remember talking about this a little bit last year towards the end of the golf season. This idea has been floated around. This is nothing new. This is no sort of new idea. But now it's sort of coming to the forefront as something that could become a real possibility of dialing back the distance that the technology of the golf ball provides these days.
No doubt, and good memory, because in our August edition of Chicago District Golfer, which I'm holding up in front of the camera here for Twitch, it's all about distance control. And to your point, it's been a topic of discussion for many years and even decades, for that matter, as we progress from persimmon wood, bolata balls, to metal woods, to titanium heads, to, you know, coefficient of restitution and all of the various measurements and how hot the golf ball has become. And what the USGA does is they identify these areas of interest, areas to which they want to look at more of a long-term perspective and not just this season or next. So really, they're starting to take a look out at the next 10 to 50 years and what's going to happen to the game. So distance is one of those issues because, you know, golf courses that were built in the early 1900s are, for the most part, in many instances, landlocked, you know, unless they start buying up everybody's homes and, you know, in acquiring more land, can they stretch this golf or the golf course out? But when you do that, you're also including a lot more expense to maintain it, a lot more expense to obviously make the moves from a capital expenditure and the whatnot. But there are just some facilities out there just can't do it.
Right.
And so for that reason, you know, the USGA is exploring the idea. And let me emphasize, exploring. Mm-hmm. It isn't a rule. You know, I compare it a lot to, like, you know, how bills go to Capitol Hill.
Right.
Not every bill that goes there turns into a law.
Right.
And this is no different. So being on a call with the USGA on Thursday and listening to their perspective on this, because let's face it, the USGA does get a lot of criticism for a lot of different things, but you got to give it to them when they're looking at the overall good of the game. They have to look at it from the golf course perspective just as much as they do from a player's perspective. So let me rest assured that as most of the listeners out here, the 99.9% of us that are listening to this show, on the show, it's not going to affect us.
Right.
It just is not. This is going to be for the professional, mm-hmm, and potentially the elite amateur. Now, who is the elite amateur? Is that the U.S. amateur and it stops there? Or will it cascade down to our own Illinois State Am and to our CDGA Amateur Championship? Those would be the two major amateur events that we conduct in Illinois that potentially, and I say potentially, could qualify for such a thing. But they are going to use this as a basically an option for us to make a decision on whether or not we want to even institute it. So there could be a scenario out there that says, hey, for the elite amateur and the U.S. Open and the British Open, they're going to play this new rolled back golf ball. But for us at the local level here, we may be able to make that decision, but we won't know until the USGA tells us. Now, you know, what does that mean? I mean, what does that mean for, you know, club manufacturers? What does that mean for the pros themselves? A lot of great questions. We just don't know and won't know. So the USGA is in a 5-month gaining comments, gaining information back from all constituents out there, whether it's the manufacturers, whether it's the players and everybody in between, as to whether this should be, you know, pursued. And if so, to what extent, or what variation thereof. But I can't wait to talk to Alex because his perspective, at the moment I heard about this, he was the first guy I thought of because of his role with the Illinois PGA. He's also with Srixon, the ball company. Mm-hmm. So he sees this from two different perspectives. Because hypothetically, let's just say this does go through. And first off, if it were to start, it wouldn't start till the season of 2026. So you conceivably could have in the year 2026, the U.S. Open, the British Open. And then it's a question of whether would the PGA Tour go along with it and the Masters.
Yeah,
but I will tell you this. Fred Ridley, the chairman of the Augusta National, is in favor of any proposal that would support rolling back the distance.
Well, yeah, and you talk about it from the golf course standpoint, too. Like, yes, there certain places could obviously add some distance, maybe buy up some land. But there's also certain places, and I would imagine Augusta falls under this umbrella, that would be so stubborn to not do something like that. They're not going to touch the piece of art that is already in place. And because of that, they would be, of course, willing to see some of these distance rollbacks on the golf ball because there wouldn't be pressure to change your course or anything of that nature. They want to leave Augusta as is. They want to leave a lot of these elite, pristine golf courses as is. And rolling back the golf ball certainly would be something that would do that. Now, here's the other part, too, that I think about is, like, you mentioned how it could come down to something where it's state to state, mm-hmm. and they determine whether or not they will be rolling back the golf ball according to whatever PGA of the given state. And I would say I just would want to see uniformity across it because you know that sometimes these golf balls maybe get mixed up. And sure, I doubt you'd see it at the PGA Tour level, but, you know, in one of these local amateur events, like, you could see something happen, and you could it could be intentional trying to finagle with the golf ball a little bit as well. Like, everyone's always looking for an edge.
Oh, they are.
And this is certainly something that would give people an edge where, listen, for myself, it's probably not going to make a whole heck of a lot of difference. Maybe I'll lose a couple yards here or there, but ultimately probably not going to make a difference. But for someone that can actually use these technological advances, that, like, you will see a difference, and you probably will see people try to skirt the rules a little bit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, no doubt. But unfortunately, if they decide to have a ball, and I think you bring up a good point about uniformity, because the beauty of way golf is right now is that we can play the exact ball mm-hmm. that Scottie Scheffler's playing.
Yes.
The exact ball that Jordan Spieth is playing and use the same equipment. Now, can we use it as well as they do?
No.
No. But golf is one of the very few sports that you can bring the ball you want to put into play. Mm-hmm. When you go to a Major League Baseball game and you take the mound, that ball was rolled out. That's a Rawlings spec ball. And every single baseball that you will throw and hit throughout the given season is exactly the same.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be interesting when we talk to Alex to hear about what does this mean for the manufacturers, and would the USGA ever consider the idea of, hey, we're going to take on this added expense, and we're going to be the provider of the official ball when you come and play our U.S. Open.
Yep. All right. We will talk to Alex Mendez coming up next to tell you everything that he knows about the golf ball. Will it be rolled back eventually? We'll talk to Alex about that coming up in 2 short minutes. This segment has been brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up north Michigan golf without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.